Hello, everyone, again, and welcome to the podcast. Today, it is the last day of March 31st, 2021. We're going to go through some scriptures today that I believe are just good words of encouragement. And it's always good to meditate upon the Word of God, to fill ourselves with the Word of God, because it is the mind of God, and it helps us to think His thoughts. We're going to be looking at Isaiah 61, Psalm 67, and Malachi 4, because that's just the direction we went in this morning for the radio program. And God always has a good word to speak over us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for Your Word. Thank You for the truth that You equip us with. Help us to stand in Your truth, God, and not receive the enemy's lies, but to have Your word so deeply within us that we are really quick to reject anything that is false. So thank You for encouraging us in Your word. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. I started out this morning just being reminded of this verse in Isaiah 61, where it says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness." This is what Jesus has come to do. We are approaching Resurrection Weekend, where He died on the cross, shed His blood. He was raised again, and He clothed us with salvation. He clothed us with His righteousness. And the more that I looked at Isaiah chapter 61, I was reminded of how He came to undo the works of the devil, to destroy the works of the devil. Listen to these words at the top of the chapter, where Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound." It's the ministry of Jesus. And these words were written. It was a prophecy about Jesus 600 years before He was born. And Jesus started out His ministry declaring that this is what He has come to do. A song that I heard in the program is by Danny Gokey, where he says, "You think you'll never get back to the you you used to be." And, you know, there may be a time in your life you think, "Man, I wish I could go back to that point in my life." It's like a computer restore everything back to that point where things were better. Or maybe it's even the original design, you know, what God planned for us when He knew us before the world was ever created, and what He dreamed for our lives to be. But sin entered the world, and it marred us. It destroyed so much of what God had originally intended. But you know what? The power of Jesus Christ and His resurrection is greater than what the enemy has done. Jesus has come to heal that brokenheartedness, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to set us free and open up the prison and restore these things in our life. I've heard it said that the power of what Jesus has done for you is greater than what anyone or the devil has done to you. And that's the truth. The resurrection power and life of Jesus Christ will always trump. It will always be greater than anything that the enemy tries to do. Proclaiming liberty to the captives, you know, being held captive by lies. Guess what? You come into the presence of God. You come into those places of worship, and there's clarity, and the lies have to fall off. And, you know, once we get that clarity and that truth, we walk towards that truth. Okay. Let's go a little bit further down, down in the verse, or I'm sorry, down in the chapter to verse 4. It says that, you know, those who have been restored, when Jesus has done this restoring work in our life, even in verse 3, He comforts us in our mourning. He gives us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. In other words, we become these trees, these oaks of righteousness that are firmly planted. This is what we do then in verse 4. It says that we rebuild the old ruins. We raise up the former desolations. We repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. God sends us out then to transform the world. I mean, a lot of times people look at some of these scriptures and think, oh, that's the millennial reign. Well, I believe it starts right here and now. You know, revival is not just meant to stay in the walls of the church. It's actually meant to bust out of the church and to transform culture. You know, when we go into our workplaces, when we go into the schools, anywhere we go, that righteousness that is on our life, it brings transformation and it shows people what God is like because we're living a blessed life. Verse 7 of Isaiah 61, it says, instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. You know, when we go out into the world, we're not under circumstances, or at least we're not supposed to be. If we're under circumstances, go back to the top of Isaiah 61 and start again, you know, and let Jesus do that healing work. Let him release you from the captive lies. Let him set you free and open up the prison so that you can be the restored person that God has called you to be, so that you can go out into your city and bring restoration. And so the circumstances actually come under our feet. They're not over us. And the world needs to see these examples of people who are living as these oaks of righteousness. They need to see the restoration that is on us and the restoration that we bring so that they can know what God is like. Okay? This is how it works. Yeah, we want the, like it says in Ephesians chapter 2, that everything is under Jesus's feet. You know, all principality rule, it's under his feet. But then it says we're seated with him in heavenly places. That means it's under our feet as well. So we take our seat with Jesus. All these things are underneath us. Again, in Isaiah 61, says their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, their offspring among the people, and all who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. People recognize that we are walking in the blessing of the Lord. And that is where we are going to turn over to Psalm 67. Verse 1, God be merciful to us and bless us. Cause your face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on the earth and your salvation among the nations. The blessing of the Lord upon our life causes people to know the ways of God. Okay, helps them to want it too. But then if you go on down to verse 7 of Psalm 67, it says, God shall bless us and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. So if you want to see transformation and change in the people around you, then you come under that blessed place of the Lord, because that blessing of the Lord that you are walking in causes people to fear the Lord. In other words, they look at your life and circumstances aren't reigning over you. You're reigning over your circumstances, and it causes them to inspect their own lives and say, why is that person able to rule and reign over their circumstances? What do they have that I lack? And anytime that God exposes us to someone who is walking in a higher level of blessing or a higher level of faith, he's not condemning us and saying, man, you've really blown it. What's the matter with you? Instead, he is exposing us to something so that we can know what's available to us. Okay? It calls us up higher. And in the same way, we live our lives in a blessed place with things under our feet, not over our head. And it calls other people higher as well, okay? This is why God wants us to be able to rule and reign over circumstances and not have them over us. And as I said, if, you know, when you find yourself under go back to the top of Isaiah 61. Go back and let Jesus, you know, do that work in your life. And, you know, sometimes it's almost like it completes a circle. It starts out with a healing work in our life, a word that God gives us, and then he walks us into freedom. And if we miss it, we just get to repeat the process. We need to take that class over, circle around that mountain again. But the whole point, you know, of what God is doing in our life is to bring us into greater levels of blessing, greater levels of authority. Authority in our life over circumstances comes from obedience. It comes from holiness. It's the reason Jesus had such authority over death, hell, sin, the grave, is because he walked in perfect holiness and righteousness. So that's what God's trying to do in us. Okay, let's flip over to Malachi chapter 4. Because I was hearing this as well. 6 verses in this chapter. Man, it's powerful. Verse 5, God says, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." This is what God did before sending Jesus. He sent Elijah the prophet, who we know as John the Baptist. This is the very last very last chapter of the Old Testament. And then there were 400 years of silence before God broke the silence, speaking to Zechariah that he was going to have a child who was John the Baptist. John the Baptist was going to be the prophet who prepared the way of the Lord. So here you have another process, the ways that God works in our life. He sends a prophetic word. Okay, he sends the prophet to wake us up out of the slumber and out of the sleep, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers. If you go back up to the very first verse of Malachi 4, it's talking about a judgment is coming. Now, judgment for the new covenant believer is directed at the enemy, okay? We are actually, through the power of Jesus Christ, coming into greater levels of resurrection strength and power. So I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. It says, "The Lord of Heaven's armies says the day of judgment is coming, burning like a furnace. On that day, the arrogant and the wicked will be burned up like straw. They will be consumed, roots, branches, and all. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go free, leaping with joy like calves led out to pasture. On the day when I act, you will tread upon the wicked as if they were dust under your feet, says the Lord of Heaven's armies." And then we're reminded to obey what God has told us. So for the new covenant believer, you know, whenever those times of judgment come, we experience healing. We experience freedom. We experience having the wickedness underneath our feet. That's that ruling and reigning again as we obey the Lord and we heed the voice of the prophetic word that is spoken to us. Okay, we allow God to turn our hearts towards our children, or as children towards our parents. Okay, so revival. Revival looks like family, okay? It looks like transforming culture. It looks like revival looks like greater levels of authority over circumstances in our life, where they don't rule over us. We then rule over those circumstances, okay? This is the way of the Lord. This is what he's doing in his people, and he'll do it in us. Okay, so Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this amazing truth from the Old Testament that preaches what you do. It teaches what you're like, Jesus. So Father, we just thank you that you send us the prophet, God. You send us the prophetic word to guide our life. And Father, we receive your word. We receive your blessing upon our life. We heed your words, Lord God, and we thank you for the healing that you bring. We thank you that you put the enemies under our feet. We thank you, God, that the freedom is there for us to walk in, God. Lord, give us the clarity of mind. Yeah. Give us the clarity of mind, God, to discern what you are speaking to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. You know, I started out the radio program looking at John chapter 8, and I didn't include that. That was where Jesus was having some interaction with the Pharisees because he was calling them out as lying. You know, you are believing a bunch of lies. Your father is the devil. He is a liar and the father of lies. And their sin, their darkness was what held them in bondage to lies. And as we turn from those things that the Lord shows us and walk in his righteousness and holiness, we'll find that we'll understand the truth more. We won't be held captive by the lies of the enemy. Okay. And I'll throw this in as well. You know, when you recognize a lie, do what Jesus did in John chapter 8:44. Call it out. Just say, that's a lie. And I don't have to receive that. Okay. Just Jesus called out the lie, called out the liar, and we can too. And it helps us just to keep our mind in that place of truth. All right. God bless you with this truth today. I just pray that it goes deep into you. I pray that you're encouraged by the word of God. And again, just read over these chapters. Great encouragement. Isaiah 61, Psalm 67, Malachi 4. Have a great day.